Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this afternoon. And it is a blessing what God can do with broken people. Amen. Well, Lighthouse Baptist Church, 29 years of church history. And this afternoon service, we always go through and reflect back on some of the church history. But God gives us a different theme each year. And of course, this year is He's always leading. And He's led us to this place, and I believe He'll continue to lead us from this place forward until the rapture of the church, which will end this New Testament church age. Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119. What a blessed psalm in this passage of Scripture. We're going to be reading verse 97 down to 105. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Though through thy commandments Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And let's pray. Our Father, and our God, as we bow before you, we do thank you, Lord God, for establishing this Lighthouse Baptist Church and how you worked it out for all the pieces to come together. I thank you, Lord God, for the last 29 years of church ministry, for how you have continued to lead, guide, and direct this church to be able to accomplish all that you have for us accomplished throughout these years and to lead us to the place that we're at today. And God, as we're here today and we're thinking about the last 29 years and reflecting upon that, we also are very excited about what the future holds as we just continue to look to you and follow your direction. I pray that you'd meet with us in this afternoon service. Thank you for each one that's made the decision to come to be a part of this service. I pray that you'd bless them. I pray, God, that you would just reveal truth to us and reveal the things that will encourage, strengthen, and help each one of us to just to continue to look to you and move forward in our service to our great God. Bless now in this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thy word, the Bible, the word of God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path. As we look at that, a lamp unto my feet, a lamp to show me where I'm at. And talking about our feet and where we're standing, where we're at. And we turn on, we look to the word of God, and it'll tell you where you're at. It'll reveal to you what kind of spiritual condition you're in. And then it's a light to light unto my path. The path is where we're going. And it's a light to point me in the right direction. So the Word of God will not only be that lamp that will illuminate where you're at, but it will also be that light that will guide you, that will lead you in the direction that God would have you to go. Our main source of the knowledge of God and His will for our lives is the written down and preserved Word of God. Now, we know the Holy Spirit of God directs, and we know that we can look around and God's great creation, and we can learn much. But the main source of the knowledge that we have of God, and especially His will for our lives, is what we have before us here in this Bible. And that's what the psalmist is talking about. Everything that he says there concerning the law and concerning the testimonies and concerning the precepts and all the different, it's just a different way of describing the very words of God that we have. And then, of course, in chapter, in verse 105, and it just says, "The word is that lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path." If you look there in a few verses before that, in verse 89, he says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It's not going to change. It hasn't changed. We've had the same written down word of God in the New Testament, as we have been mentioning on Sunday nights. We're in a series in the book of Revelation. And we have the full revelation of the Word of God. We've had the full revelation of the Word of God for some 2,000 years. And what Jesus revealed through the New Testament, the full revelation has not changed. Nothing about the Old Testament has changed. We've had the Word of God. We're more accountable over the last 2,000 years. Humanity is more accountable because we've had that full revelation. We understand more about the Old Testament than what they did in the Old Testament. Jesus revealed everything about the Old Testament, how that it all came to the place of pointing to Him and His coming, and the establishment of that which was a mystery in the Old Testament, but is very much made clear to us in the New Testament, and that is His church. We just started a series on Sunday morning Sunday school and understanding the authentic biblical church, the real church. And all it's important that we understand what is a real church, a biblical church. But he says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And then in verse 130, he says in Psalms 119, 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." His word is here to light up our feet and continually point us in the right direction. It's like a GPS for life. I don't know about you. I'm pretty simple when it comes to technology. I just use what I know and use what works. I still handwrite all of my sermons. I don't type them up. I don't have it. I use different color inks and everything else. I've always done that for 30 years. I do the same thing. I just started texting and not that long ago. Yeah, I didn't need it. I'm still questioning whether I'd really need it today. I tell people, if you want to have a conversation with me, call me. If you just want to tell me something, then text me. Amen? Too many people try to have a conversation, and before you know it, you get off track and you don't really understand what they're saying because you don't have the communication skills through texting as you do with the verbal communication. You hear the tone of the voice. You see the body language if you're talking. I mean, there's so much there. And so I think if you just want to tell me something, you can text me. If you want to talk to me, don't text me. Call me. Better yet, come over and see me. Amen. So technology, I know it's a benefit. I know it's used. But one of the things that I have enjoyed is my GPS system. Especially when you drive out of state and you're somewhere and you're looking for a Starbucks or a golf course, amen? Two main things to look for out of state is a golf course and a Starbucks. And so you look on the GPS and you point it, just plug it in. As you plug it in, what it does, it says, "This is where you're at and this is how you get to where you want to go." I love it. Now, I would rather have a man's voice on there than a woman's voice telling me what to do. But either way, if she is correct, hey, tell me. Amen. Turn here, I'll turn there, all right? The Word of God is our GPS for life. That's what the psalmist says, the Word. If you just plug yourself in, if you really want to know, it'll tell you. Show you where you're at in your spiritual life. your walk with God and tell you how to get to where God wants you to go if we just follow what He says. It lights up His will. 3 points this evening, to go into what's taken place in our anniversary, but it lights up His will for our personal lives. You know, that's something that every one of us need. God's revealed will, I can tell everybody. I preach God's revealed will. Every time I stand up here to preach the Word of God is His will for everybody. If you want to know God's revealed will, I can help you with that because it's not different. If you look to the Bible, that is God's revealed will for all believers is to follow His instructions, to do what it says. Now, God's personal will for your life. I can't tell you that. I can give you some guidelines. And I can tell you, before you'll ever find God's personal will for your life, you have to be committed to His revealed will for your life. And as you do what you know God would have you to do, as you're doing that, you'll find that God will start opening up and directing you in His personal will for your life. And both of those are actually found in the Scriptures, because God's personal will for your life will not lead you opposite His revealed will for your life. And so we find that this Bible, the Word of God, lights up His will for our personal lives. I go back to 1979. I was saved as an 8-year-old boy, and that was coming up this May. It'll be 50 years. 50 years being saved. Wow. Half a century. Somebody says, "You're old." And I always said the same thing. I'm older, but I'm not old. Amen. I don't know when I'll ever get old. I don't know, but I am older, and I'll continue to get older, but I'm not ready to say I'm old. But 50 years, stop and think about that. I think that's a long time. 50 years. Been saved. In 79, in and out of church and teenage years, different things, but it was in 1979 that God helped me to see where I was. And it wasn't a pretty picture. I was financially very well off. I was an auto body frame. I owned my own house. I owned an Audi Fox at that time. Was a luxury. It was a sports luxury car, an Audi Fox. I had a 70 Camaro that was beefed up. That was my muscle car. And had a brand new 750 motorcycle. I was single. That's why I was able to have all those things. I thought I was set in my career, and I'd graduated from Kansas Jack Frame School. I was making more money than I should have as a young man, but I was doing framework. I was on my way to continue to get whatever I wanted. But my life was empty. It was that year of 79, my father passed away. And God used that tremendously in my life. I stopped and just started reflecting on where I was and where that was going to get me. And was it really what I wanted? And I remember after much time in prayer and God working in several different ways in my life, I surrendered my life to do whatever His will was. Didn't know what it was for sure. I had an idea, but I tried to stay away from that idea. Stopped to think about pastoring. I didn't want to go there, but I thought I would get involved in the church and I would just work, make money to be able to help support the church. I enrolled in Indiana Baptist College, taking some night classes in Indiana Baptist College. I continued working on auto body and frame. I bought the house for the garage so I could work out of the garage. I wanted to keep myself busy. I started attending an independent Baptist church. I was raised Southern Baptist. And when I walked into that independent Baptist church, I could tell there was something different about this church. It was a church that believed the Bible, that preached the whole book. The Spirit of God was there and working, convicting hearts. Decisions were being made. It was in that church that God led me to meet my wife. In August of that very same year, we were married. We met at the beginning, and by August, we were married. We come back right after our honeymoon, and the church had a church split. Didn't even know what was going on. I'm thinking, wow, just think of how powerful it would have been if some of the other things weren't going on behind the scenes. But I realized that God's Word is powerful, not man. And in that point, that God put me right into the youth ministry. There was a need for that, and I was there, and God directed me, and so my wife and I started working in the youth ministry. We eventually went full-time after going full-time to school and working in the youth ministry and working on the side, and it was a very, having children, it was a very busy time in our lives, but for 5 years, we served the Lord in the youth ministry. God's Word led me to realize, because of the circumstances and situations, it was God's will for me to resign that position after 5 years and take an associate's position at the Frankfort Baptist Church in Frankfort, Indiana, where my brother was pastoring. It was God who led me to do that, and I understand that. Now I look back and see how God worked it all out. He brought my brother back to the state here to pastor there, and directed me there. From that associate position at the Frankfort Baptist Temple in Frankfort, Indiana in 1985, the Lighthouse Baptist Church was a satellite out of that church. There was a few families driving all the way from the Indianapolis area to attend a soul-winning independent fundamental Baptist church. And from those families, my brother actually had the idea, God led him to say, we need to start a church in an area in Indianapolis where there's a need. We started looking and praying, and God opened the door to 5438 East Washington Street. In 1985, we had our first service, that upstairs unit that you find a picture of in your bulletin. 24 people attended the first service. I took on somewhat of a co-pastor beginning for the very beginning of the church. And the way we did it is, if I was here in Indianapolis, I would be preaching Sunday morning in Indianapolis where my brother preached Sunday morning at Frankfort. And then in the afternoon, I would travel to Frankfort. He would travel to Indianapolis. I would preach there Sunday night. He would be preaching here on Sunday night. We had a Wednesday midweek service at Frankfort and had a Thursday midweek service here in Indianapolis. I was still working with the youth, and so I had the youth department of two churches combining them together and doing the work that God had called me. I thought I was going to be youth pastor. At the same time, I was an associate pastor and co-pastoring, but really did not know that's what God would have me to do. And so He put me in that youth ministry, and He put me in as I reflect back on that. And not against my will, I knew that I was wanting to do whatever God told me to do. We actually did that for a year and a half. For a year and a half, we somewhat co-pastored. We was traveling back and forth every Sunday and every Wednesday and Thursday. And it was just so that we kept our home here in Indianapolis because I was here most of the time. I had my main responsibilities was here at the Lighthouse. But we continued to travel. And then after a year and a half, the church grew to about 80. And it started going down because we was in the upstairs unit. We had not been able to find a church building. God had not opened that door. And my brother came and he said he thought that it was time to close the doors here and just move everything back to Frankfort. Well, right before he approached me, God had already put on my heart that He wanted me to pastor. And I didn't know that it was going to be here. I thought that I would go somewhere if this church continued. But then after he said that, I said, you know, I believe that might be God's will that I would be the sole pastor and keep the doors open at the Lighthouse. And so we put it to the church, and in October of 1986, the church voted me in as the sole pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. It was the Bible that led me. It was the Bible that revealed to me that I wanted more out of life than just what this world had to offer. was the Holy Spirit of God that led me to realize there's more to life than flesh and blood. And now I'm the pastor. 1986, 29 years old. Pastoring a church. I didn't have a co-pastor to look to, an older brother saying, what about this? What about that? There was no one else to look to. So bring me to my second point. The Bible gives light to establish biblical conviction. Was I pastoring a church, an independent fundamental Baptist church, because that's what my brother was? Was the convictions that we were going to establish as for the church, was it the convictions of a man, or was it convictions found in the Word of God? Was it the church that God wanted us to be? And I remember many of times, many of hours spent up in my office, especially on Saturday nights before I would go to the podium on Sunday mornings, and just saying, God, you've got to give me this. I've got to know that it's not a man. I'm not the one in charge of the church, but it's your church. And we're going to establish conviction based upon the Bible. One of the things that I knew that our people needed to see was that God's hand was upon my life as a pastor. I remember praying, God, we need a building. The people need to see that your hand is upon me and me leading the church. I need to see it. A year and a half, nothing had come up. From October to January, I did everything I could do. I contacted everyone, every denomination that might have an empty building somewhere. I did everything I could to look for a church building. In January of 1987, as I've always done for 29 years, Saturday night's been my prayer closet. Before I go to the podium on Sunday, I've spent time with God. I've prepared myself to be used as a vessel in God's hand. 9 o'clock Saturday night. I was up in that upstairs unit. I got kind of scary up there every now and then. At night, I mean, that was not a very well area. I mean, it was not a safe area to be in. But God was in that place. And I was up on a Saturday night, 9 o'clock, 9 p.m., praying, seeking God's will, preparing myself, and the phone rang. I don't always answer the phone, especially if I'm praying. And yet at 9 o'clock at night, the phone rang. And so I get up and I go and I answer the phone. And it was Larry Sayers from the American Baptist Association. He said, I've been out of town. I just got back into town. I found on my recorder that you had left a message saying that you were a young church and you were looking for a building. He said, I didn't think I'd catch anybody at the church. I was just going to leave the message. And the message is that we have a building that we are getting ready to shut down, a ministry there. The pastor of this ABA church had just had a heart attack. And they were moving the congregation to a larger American Baptist Association church. He says 6950 East Raymond Street. Just a little brick building with 5 acres of ground. And I said, well, I think we might be interested in that. I didn't want to shout too loud. Right after I got off the phone, around 9:30 that night, Saturday night, I drove over to this location. God did a lot in my life. And it's still very special to me, knowing how God worked. I come over to the front doors. There's a little brick building over here. That was the original building. When I drove up in a little gravel parking lot, I walked up to the front door. I knew this was God opened the door. I put my hand on the glass door. I claimed this building. I was a young pastor. That next morning, I get up and announce to the church, we have a building. God has opened the door, and we have a church building. 5 acres of ground. Just a couple miles from where we had been meeting for a year and a half. Wednesday night, after the Wednesday night service at the upstairs unit, and I think we have a few of the members here. I know Linda and Tim, of course, and June and Ron and Kathy. And how many? Raise your hand if you were here at that. Yeah, several. Sandy and Bob upstairs, up in the balcony. Yeah, there's several. That Wednesday night, after the Sunday that I'd come over and claim this, after the Wednesday night service, I said, let's, as a church family, go over and claim that building. I'd already put in an offer to the American Baptist Association. So we all come over here, and it was just a great time. We got in a circle out in front of the building, held hands, and claimed this facility. Thank God for what He had done in opening the door to this facility. Well, that next day on Thursday, Larry Sarah's American Baptist Association called, and he said they rejected your offer of $90,000. $90,000, we had talked to the bank. The bank said that they would be able to finance 75% if we would come up with 25%. And 25% was going to be hard for us to do. But after we revealed everything and money we put back, thought if they would give us 75%, we will do this. And so we offered them $90,000 for the facility. He come back and he said on Thursday, he said they rejected that. But they did say this. They said, if you're willing to come underneath the umbrella of the American Baptist Association, we'll give you the property. As a young pastor, the temptation was to accept it and then continue to do whatever I wanted to do. But I thought that is not how God would have us to do business. But that is a conviction. The American Baptist Association was not a King James church. American Baptist Association did not have standards and convictions. They were very much more liberal than what we can imagine. But if you come underneath the umbrella and you become an American Baptist Association church, you can have this facility. We'll just turn it over to you. We've been looking, and this is what he told me. He says, we're looking for young men to get involved in ministry. And said, we'd love to have you come in under our umbrella. And I told him, I said, Larry, I appreciate the offer, but God led me to establish an independent fundamental Baptist church. And I believe that God would have us to remain independent fundamental Baptist church. And I said, I know they rejected 90,000, but Larry, I want you to take something back to them. In the meantime, the bank had called and told us that they didn't realize we was a church. And as a church, they wouldn't loan 75%. The most they would loan was 50%. So we couldn't get the loan. There's no way we'd come up with that kind of money. But I said, Larry, this is what God would had given me to give to you. I want you to take back this offer. We now want to offer you $75,000. We'll give you $15,000 up front. That's what we had. And we need you to finance the rest of it. He said, they just turned down $90,000. I said, Larry, I know, but this is what you need to do. He took it back. And the next day, he called and he says, I don't know how this happened, but the board has approved financing the building and taking it $15,000. They agreed Sunday, without ever signing up any documents whatsoever, we moved in. We moved into the facilities and we had claimed it But before that even happened, I forgot the main thing. In between that time, before they approved it, I didn't even tell the church. That next Saturday, after I'd heard that they had rejected it, I come over here on my own. Saturday night's always been a special time for me meeting with the Lord. I come over here. It was winter time, January. No, actually at this time it was February. I mean, there was 6 inches of snow on the ground. It was snowing that Saturday night. And I come out here. I was just going to go up and pray once again, claim it. And as I walked up to that door, the Lord brought Joshua in mind. He said, you know what Joshua did before I gave him the victory at Jericho? He walked around Jericho 7 times. And I started walking around the building. I walked around the first time. I thought, I feel a little silly. The lights come on over at Waterman's. I said, they're going to call the police on me. They're thinking some idiots over there, some wild guys over there walking around this building. I walked around the 6th time. I thought about, now, I ought to stop. And I thought, no, they walked around 7 times. And I walked around this building 7 times. And then I went over to the door, put my hand on it. I claimed it for the Lord. And it was after that that he called me. But that's when I met with him and I gave him the agreement, $75,000. And what a blessing it was to see how God worked to give us this property. How God worked to give me that light to establish biblical conviction for this church. From there, the last part, God's word will give the light to continue to point us in the right direction. Very next year, 1988, once we got the building, God started blessing. I mean, we was able to start going out, inviting people to a regular church building. By the next year, we had a need to build. We didn't have any money. But we had a lot of willing church members willing to work. As we started out to build the building, God sent exactly who we needed. It was on a Wednesday night praise night service. A Wednesday night. 2 men come in, kind of bearded and everything. I didn't know what was going on. During the invitation time, they come down, and both of them rededicated their lives, found out that they were Sears Construction. They had their own construction company. Amen. Doris Sears. It's her 2 sons. That's what when Doris came with her sons, right after that. After that, we had some others that were construction workers. God sent us a plumber. God sent us electricians. Everyone that we needed, God sent to the church to lead the church and starting to build buildings. Seeing the hand of God upon this church. And God led us and we built that building in 1988. That's the first edition where all the nurseries are at now. And if you look real close at the walls, you'll see where every time there was, used to be a wall that we had to knock out to enlarge the nursery and knock out the next wall and enlarge the nursery. Now that whole building is nursery. Two years later, we built the second edition, the office, and half a gymnasium. Didn't have the money to build a full gymnasium, but we was able to have the structure put up to the gymnasium, but then our church men, we built that second edition. In 1992, we built the third edition, which was a Sunday school wing off the gymnasium. Which as you go into the gymnasium, if you look to the right, the door there, that was the next addition that was added for the Sunday school. Once you build one time, you never build out of desire. And I tell our people, we'll build out of need, necessity. And every 2 years, we were in a different building project. In 1994, God led us to build this new sanctuary. 1994, 20 years ago. Doesn't seem possible that we've been in this building, in this sanctuary for 20 years. I remember in finishing it, it was the only building that we actually hired out, and they went bankrupt at the end. And so we had to take it over and finish it ourselves. And I remember trying to get it all done for the pews to come. Saturday morning, early 2 o'clock in the morning, we were painting all of these brackets, that brown. We had the scaffolding in here, and Brother Merv was our youth pastor at that time, and Brother Merv and myself were all the way up to the top, painting the very center brackets. That you never look up there, do you? But we were up there painting that, and I seen Brother Merv over there etching something in. He etched his initials in the wall. So if you look real close, if you got some binoculars, you'll see Brother Merv's initials up there at the top of the building. But we finished it, and we was able to get the building occupied in 1994. In 1996, we remodeled the old sanctuary, which is now Sunday school rooms. And if there's any crooked walls over there, that's Brother Steve Ellis. He's the one that didn't use the level, all right? So any crooked walls, blame it on Brother Steve. He's got wide shoulders. He's held it for the last 20 years, right, Brother Steve? He has accepted the blame for the crooked walls. In 1998, 2 years later, we extended the gym and the Sunday school classrooms at the end of the gym with the upstairs and the downstairs, the four classrooms. In 2000, we added the balcony. The balcony that you see here, all the framework was in place so that when it got time for it, we was able to just build the balcony into the sanctuary. And 2000, our balcony was added. I remember the first Wednesday night service, once it was completed, I had everybody here that was on the Wednesday night service to get up in the balcony. And so we packed the balcony out to see how many it would hold. It will hold 189 people. 189 people in the auditorium. This was built as a 700-seat auditorium back in 1994, and that's including the balcony and also the choir loft. In 2001, we reproduced ourselves, planted a church in Lebanon, sent out 10-year associate Brother Merv, and it was a blessing to see how they went back into the very same area that we came out from to start this church and planted the Lighthouse Baptist Church of Lebanon. And that's where Brother Merv, and there was a few of the families of the churches that went to be a help and support there. Linda and Tim, of course, that's when they left to go to be a help to Dawn, is their daughter. She was Merv's wife, and have done a great work up there. If you're ever in the Lebanon area, you want to go to Lighthouse Baptist Church there. They now have 17 acres of ground, and they have built a beautiful facility there. And Brother Murray is doing a great job there in Lebanon, Indiana. 2002, we ordained missionaries. We ordained the Lindsay's family out of the church to go to the field of Peru. We ordained the Ferrans out of the church. 2004, we added another Sunday school building, the north of the gymnasium, the final Sunday school wing, which is on the other side of the gymnasium to the north. In 2006, we added a hallway and the four-year extension. And I'm looking at that. I don't know how we ever had service, how we ever got people in the four-year out there without the extension that we added on there. But that was in 2006. 2007, we sent out Adam and Susan Longo, who are pastoring now in Arkansas. Brought in Jeremiah and Christy. 2007, it's been 7 years. It doesn't seem like it's been that long either when brought in Jeremiah and Christy to be on staff here at the church. 2008, we sent out Doug and Megan Keppel, another 10-year associate to pastor and doing a great job pastoring as well. Brought in Aaron and Becky to the youth position of the church. They had been interns here at the church, but that's when we put them on as a youth director. And Andy and Sheree come on staff as the at the church as well in 2008. 2011 brought in Buddy and Hallie Himes for the intern position, move Andy to the main associate position in 2011. 2012, we sent out Tad and Sandy LaGroche to be Adam's associate pastor over his school ministry there in Arkansas. And in 2013, even this last year, Brother John and Linda Vanderweer pastoring now. And we knew that that was God's call upon his life, and now they're pastoring. As we look back to our text, as we bring this to a conclusion, I think about not only all the buildings that we've built and all the lives that we have touched over the years and all the staff, but because we're still looking to the light of God's Word. We're still just letting the light of God's Word direct us. We continue to reach our city through our bus ministries, through our door-to-door soul winning, through our continual witness from our congregation. We continue to reach our world and obeying the Great Commission through taking on new missionaries as we have our missions conference every June, and we continue to add two or three missionary families every year, each and every year. We continue to impact other church ministries all around the United States through our conferences every year. The conference, the ladies' conference, has grown to capacity. Our men's conferences continue to reach out and impact other church ministries all over the state and the surrounding states. And as we continue to move forward, we must not lose sight of the most important thing the church can do. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We must continue to allow God, His Word, to show us where we're at. And use His light to direct us to where He wants us to go. Let's not lose sight of the powerful light from the Word of God. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Lights up our God's will for our personal lives. The Bible gives light to establish biblical conviction, to know why you believe what you believe. And it's the Bible that will continue to give light to point us in the right direction. Let's not lose sight of the powerful Word of God. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for Lord, just the precious word that we have, and how that we have looked to your word to help give light and direction for your church. Thank you, Lord God, for the lighthouse. And probably we won't know until we get to heaven the impact that it's had on so many people, so many couples, so many families. We thank you for it all. Father, we know that it's not over until we hear that trumpet sound. We want to continue to be and to do all that you'd have us to do. Pray that you'd continue to strengthen the church and continue to just lead, guide, and direct. Work now in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.